step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Sarai, from the Freaky As Fuck podcast. And I don't think I have to tell y'all that I am a huge fan and collector of all things spooky and macabre. And if you're like me, then might I recommend checking out Hell Yeah Voodoo Dolls? This incredible online shop has one-of-a-kind handcrafted voodoo dolls, handmade jewelry, and all kinds of Hell Yeah merch, such as hoodies, t-shirts, beanies, and more. If you're looking to get a unique gift for yourself or for your favorite person, be sure to check out Hell Yeah Voodoo Dolls. You can find them at hellyahvoodoodolls.com, where you can also find some info on the 4,000-square-foot haunted Victorian manor that they're renovating. Shop Hell Yeah Voodoo Dolls today for your spooky needs.
Dark Cast Network. The light shines brightest on our indie podcasts.
Welcome to another episode of the Freaky As Fuck podcast. I'm your host, Sarai, and thank you guys so much for being patient with me while I get my shit together. I needed to take a couple of days off for my mental health. Things have just been super hectic lately in like my personal life that involves me making some really big life decisions, and plus we're in the midst of like a possible World War III, so like many others, I'm real fucked up about all that. But every time I sat down and attempted to write, my mind was in like a million other places at the same time. And I just kind of needed to take a beat to just kind of get my mind back on track. And it sucked extra hard because I had left for vacation. Everything was all good. I had a wonderful time, and it's been a shitstorm since I've been back home. So whatever, I guess that just means that I have to take a permanent vacation and never come back. So peace, guys. Thanks for listening. That's the end of the show. Just kidding, of course. This is so weird. I don't even know what I'm doing because I'm in a completely different location from what I usually record in. And it's been a while since I've actually sat down and recorded something. So I'm like, how do I podcast? Just kidding. I never knew what the fuck I was doing in the first place. Anyways, for today's episode, I'm going to be talking about a haunted lighthouse. I remember seeing an episode of Ghost Hunters on this lighthouse, and it freaked me the fuck out. I'm not going to lie. I was maybe like 9 or 10 at the time, and the image that they capture of this shadowy figure leaning over the stairwell, it just like, that picture is forever burned into my brain, and I wish it wasn't. And what do I do about things that have traumatized me? Well, I tell you guys all about them, of course, and that is why today I'll be telling you all about the St. Augustine Lighthouse in Florida. The land that the lighthouse is built on, St. Augustine, is the oldest permanent European settlement in North America, which is why it's also known as the Old City. Don Juan Ponce de Leon of Spain discovered La Florida, or the land of the flowers, all the way back in 1513. In 1565, Spain, in efforts to colonize the land, dispatched Admiral Conquistador Don Pedro Menéndez de Aviles to the area. He just so happened to arrive on August 28th, the feast day of St. Augustine, and thus the colony of St. Augustine was established.
Hi everyone, it's Elise from True Crime Cat Lawyer. That's right, I've combined my three favorite things into a podcast: cats, true crime, and lawyering. Every other Thursday, my co-host Winston and I bring you a new case from the Pacific Northwest. Winston is my sassy sidekick with a mustache who can often be found donning a bow tie. In other words, she's my cat. Winston and I are passionate about true crime and we love doing this podcast. As of this recording, we've released over 30 regular episodes and a few bonus episodes. Our episodes are focused on the victims and sharing their stories, something we take a lot of pride in. We're working hard to produce true crime content in an ethical way. Plus, every quarter, Winston and I donate our ad proceeds and Patreon proceeds to a true crime or animal-related nonprofit organization. If you're from the Pacific Northwest or you just enjoyed true crime, Winston and I would love for you to check out our show. You can find us on all the major podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and Good Pods. We hope you'll join us for some true crime in the Pacific Northwest.
St. Augustine is located on the northern end of Anastasia Island, and just nearby, the Matanzas River flows into the Atlantic Ocean. There is evidence that the early Spanish settlers built wooden watchtowers to overlook the inlet that leads to St. Augustine, and we have Italian mapmaker Giovanni Battista Boisio to thank for that. His 1589 map of St. Augustine, which also showed the areas that Sir Francis Drake attacked on the settlement, describes these wooden structures as beacons. As the years went on and ownership of the settlement was constantly changing, the wooden structure continued to evolve. The beacon began being referred to as a lighthouse in logs from as early as 1763. The first tower fell victim to erosion in 1880, but not before another lighthouse was erected. In 1854, the lighthouse was equipped with a revolving Fresnel lens and stood at a little bit over 50 feet tall. One of the earlier tragedies that took place at the St. Augustine Lighthouse was in 1859 when keeper Joseph Andrew fell several feet to his death when the lashing of the scaffolding failed while Andrew was whitewashing the tower. His wife, Maria Mestre de los Dolores Andrew, took over as lightkeeper until the light was extinguished shortly after the outbreak of the Civil War. By the time the lighthouse was reactivated, it was evident that it wouldn't stand much longer as a erosion had eaten away at the coastline that it stood on. So in 1871, construction began on a new lighthouse, and Hezekiah H. Pitty was hired to oversee the construction. Pitty lived in Maine with his family, but when he was assigned to the job in St. Augustine, he relocated his wife and five children into a home on the property. There was a rail car that transported building materials from the pier, and it was here that the Pitty children liked to run around and play, which is just plain irresponsible, if I might add. First of all, this is a construction site, and I can guarantee that none of these children had proper certifications to be there, so that's bad looking out on their end. And wouldn't you know it, on July 10th, 1873, some of the Pitty children, along with another child of one of the workers, were riding on the cart when the brakes suddenly failed. With no way to stop it, the children were then plummeted into the sea. Two of the Pitty children were able to be rescued, but Hezekiah's two eldest daughters, Mary and Eliza, as well as the child of the workman, whom I was unable to find a name for, weren't so lucky. There's a lot of history behind the St. Augustine Lighthouse, and as we've discussed, in that history lies a lot of tragedy. And I'm just gonna go out on a limb here and say that that's probably why this place is haunted as shit.
In August of 1980, Carol Bundy confessed her connection to the Sunset Strip Slayer, who had been terrorizing Los Angelinos all summer. In September of 2012, the cult of the Unification Church, also known as the Moonies, mourned the death of their leader, Sun Myung Moon.
Tune into Murder, Murder News every Friday to hear us detangle another twisted tale from true crime history.
If you're an amateur sleuth who hopes to someday solve a cold case or locate a missing person, tune into Murder, Murder News and start off your search with a deep dive into some fascinating and very solvable cases.
We always take a victim-first stance and like to focus on crimes affecting marginalized communities, which typically don't get enough media attention.
Subscribe to Murder, Murder News wherever you get your podcast to make sure you never miss an episode.
One entity that several visitors report having some kind of encounter with is the man in blue, who is often seen wearing a blue jacket and a mariner's cap. He's a tall man with a slim build that is often seen wandering up and down the spiral staircase of the lighthouse. The man in blue is typically followed by the overwhelming odor of cigar smoke as well. In David Lapham's book, Ghosts of St. Augustine, he describes an incident when he was having some issues with the automated lights in the lighthouse. He was making his way across the yard when he could hear the footsteps of someone walking behind him. He'd stop in his tracks and immediately turn around to see who it was behind him, but alas, there was nobody there. When he'd started making his way up the spiral staircase, he could still hear the footsteps following behind him, and as he ascended the steps, the footsteps got nearer. But every time he turned around, the footsteps would stop, and there'd be no one there. And to that I say, fuck right the fuck off, because no. Many people believe that this man in blue could be Joseph Andrew, the lightkeeper who had fallen to his death from the lighthouse, or the ghost of a man who'd hung himself in the lighthouse basement. But whoever it is, the man in blue is not to be fucked with. Another phenomena that is often reported of by guests and staff of St. Augustine is the disembodied voices and laughter of children. Yeah, no thank you. Because it gets worse. Music boxes in the lighthouse basement and gift shop are often said to wind up and start playing all by themselves. Many believe that this is Mary and Eliza Pitty's doing. Apparitions of the two girls in period clothing can be seen wandering all around the property of the lighthouse or peering out of the second story windows. Today, the St. Augustine Lighthouse also serves as a maritime museum. It houses 19,000 objects, archival documents, and archaeological specimens. They offer educational programs for children of all ages, tours, and offers museum memberships for those looking to donate to preserve maritime history. This lighthouse will actually be celebrating its 148th birthday this October. How crazy is that? Now, I would honestly love to visit St. Augustine. Sure, it's beautiful. It has a whole lot of history. It sounds like a good time, but you will not catch me in that hoe in the evening. Absolutely not. All of these entities that we described today, I just simply cannot. None of them sound like a good time. I'm sorry, but I respect it. Be sure to check out the St. Augustine Lighthouse website for the address and information if you're looking to visit. It also offers more information on the lighthouse's history and has a place for you to donate if you'd like. They are a nonprofit, and I've always believed that it's really important to preserve our history one way or another, just so that, all of the other future generations can look at all the same old shit that we used to. I will be posting some infamous pictures taken at St. Augustine. There's one of the woman overlooking the water from the lighthouse and the one of the shadow figure looking over the stone rail. Oh my god. You can check them out. They're so eerie to look at. It's awesome. So be sure to follow me on socials. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at FreakyAFPod. That's FreakyAFPod. Also, I kind of forget that some people may follow me on Instagram and not on Twitter, and to you, I apologize, because you guys were just kind of there, left in the dark about what's been going on. I'm not much of an Instagram user. Twitter is my thing. I'm on there all day, every day, except the last 2 weeks. But yeah, which y'all, I'm so happy with myself because I've just been so out of it these past couple of days. And I was afraid for this week because, I don't know, anxiety. But I told myself, today is going to be great. Forget about the old shit. Time to start again. And I survived. So what's up? That's how you know it's been rough, when you got to celebrate just being able to make it through a day without having a complete meltdown. But I mean, hey, look, an accomplishment is an accomplishment, and good for you for doing the damn thing, okay? It truly is hard out here for a pimp. But anyways, thank you for sticking it out with me to the end. Be sure to leave a 5-star rating or review wherever it is that you're listening to this here show. And if you're feeling generous, feel free to donate to my Ko-fi. The link will be in the show notes along with a bunch of other cool shit. So I will see you all here again sooner than later, for sure. So be sure to check back here for more spooky shit. Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.